98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
Hey, boys.
All right, it is noon on a Monday. That means it is time for Wolfen down your lunch. Today's top stories, Erin Maloney is here to bring them to you. Here she is right now, Erin.
So we're going to start with the NFL playoffs, guys. Okay. And the game last night, the Chiefs... Sorry about that. The Chiefs outlasted the Bills in an epic back-and-forth finish, and now the overtime debate is back. Here's Josh Allen on not getting to touch the ball in OT.
The rules are what they are, and I can't complain about that, because if it was the other way around, we'd be celebrating too. So it is what it is at this point.
Now, first, let me say this. I love Josh Allen's answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this was the other way around, we'd be celebrating, so I can't really complain. Do you think the NFL overtime rules need to be changed?
No, I don't think so at all. The only thing I would change is the coin flip. I would remove the coin flip, and the home team has a home field advantage, so I would just give them the ball. Give them the ball in overtime. And everybody knows you're going to give them the ball in overtime. They have first crack at it. And then a road team can just go ahead and manage the game with that thought in mind.
Yeah, I like that better than the current system. I'm not in the whole that group that's like, this has to change. Somebody just got robbed. Like, could it be a little bit better? Yeah, but I think it could just be a little bit better. And basically the way you said it, Wolf, just there shouldn't be a coin flip involved. So if you just want to give the home team the ball to start the overtime, that's fine. The other way I would do it is just continue as if you're going from the first to the second quarter. Okay, the Chiefs just scored, but the Bills are getting the ball to start overtime. Or if the Chiefs haven't scored, but it's tied, they just continue their drive into overtime. However you want to do that. I don't know why we have to reset like it's halftime and have a coin flip like it's the start of the game. But I don't think it's as bad as everybody's making it either.
And not only that, too, just don't overreact to one game, which is going to go down as one of the greatest football games ever played. Just don't overreact and change an entire rule because of one game.
The Super Bowl will feature an NFC West team as the Rams and 49ers will go head-to-head in the NFC Championship game after the Rams defeated the Bucks and the 49ers defeated the Packers. Here's Matthew Stafford on facing the 49ers.
It's a big challenge. You know, they're a team that's playing really good football at the moment. Physical, tough, finding ways to win. Defense is playing outstanding. Their offense is playing timely. And obviously, their special teams made some big plays last week. So, it's going to be a big challenge for us. Hopefully it's, one of those games where we come out and it's heavy, blue and yellow. And we, have a nice loud crowd that makes it tough on them. So, we'll see. I'm excited about the opportunity.
What? Like, how does this make you feel as a Cardinals fan to see the Rams and 49ers in the NFC Championship game? The winner punches their ticket to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Makes me angry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's even worse. So this is going to be the third time in the last 4 years somebody from the NFC West has made it. It's going to be the sixth time in the last 10 years, Wolf. Seattle has been twice in the last 10 years. San Francisco's been twice. The Rams have been once. And then, obviously, either the Rams or 49ers are going again. Like, when is the Cardinals' turn to go back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, for me, once again, I love the fact the Arizona Cardinals play in the NFC West. I love it. It's the beating heart of the football universe. It is the best football we as a species can generate. And it's right here in the NFC West, the best of the best. And this NFC Championship game is getting ready to prove that. I love the fact that the Arizona Cardinals play in the NFC West. And it's also the reason why I wanted them to win the NFC West, because we all know it is the best division in the game of football. And I can't help it. It gets me angry because I think of the last game of the season against the Seattle Seahawks and the fact that all they had to do at home is beat a Seattle Seahawks team that was 6-10 getting ready to pack it in for the offseason. And they couldn't do it. And that probably in retrospect right now is... should have been seen as a harbinger of sorrows to come.
So then when you watched the games over the weekend and saw the 49ers taking on the Packers and the Rams taking on the Buccaneers, how far off do you think the Cardinals are? I mean, going into next year, do you think the Rams or the 49ers are their bigger competition? I mean,
but
where do they go?
That's a great question right there, because I got to be honest.
There's no way. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, watching those games, and not even just those two games, but just all four games this weekend, there were stretches where you're like, okay, the Cardinals aren't there yet. You know, could the Cardinals hang with the Bills or the Chiefs in a playoff game right now? No, they couldn't. Could they hang with the Rams? No. I mean, Tampa didn't hang with the Rams either, but Wolf, what really frustrated me was at halftime, Tampa figured out a way to get back into the game, and you know that's been my problem with the Cardinals all year. So they've still got some work to do.
Yeah, no, you know, going into next year right now, it's people are going to be looking at the 49ers and the Rams all over again and saying, there's your NFC West. They're going to be talking about the 49ers and the Rams. Hey, that's the way it should be. They're both in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, makes sense.
So looking at the rest of the games over the weekend, we had four games and four thrillers. Which game did you enjoy watching the most?
I don't know. I can't go against that Chiefs-Bills game. I mean, to have the expectations I think we all had for it, and then to have, I'll just throw the stat out again, you hit the two-minute warning of the game, right? Not the two-minute warning of the first half, the two-minute warning of the game, Wolf. And from that point on, there are 31 points and four lead changes. After you hit the two-minute warning, yeah, I'll take that one.
Yeah, for me, forgive me, maybe I'm doing this because I just want to be different and not say the Bills and the Chiefs.
No, I could tell watching this game.
42-36, but honestly, Lambeau Field, the
special
grass
teams.
Field, special teams.
Yeah, that had everything
actually
you loved.
Decided the game. The fact that it was 13-10, the fact you had Aaron Rodgers sliding the shorts on at Lambeau Field in front of everybody, metaphorically speaking. That, to me, I absolutely... Jimmy G! What a game on the road against Aaron Rodgers. You want to talk about David and Goliath, metaphorically speaking? It was a bloodbath, too, in the snow. We'll call it the snow brawl.
So our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it's asking, was Sunday's Chiefs-Bills contest the greatest playoff game ever? Yes or no?
I can't say ever right now because I'll start thinking of something, some other finish, some other game at some point in time. I can't say ever. I can say this. The weekend that was, it's the best football I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I can't think of what game would beat it, but I'm sure, I mean, if you're going to give me the field, if you're going to give me every playoff game prior to last night against last night.
How about the immaculate catch? How about that right there?
Yeah.
Do you think that was a big one?
I mean, there's been a lot of big ones. The back and forth,
honestly,
though, was pretty ridiculous. It was one of the best, like you said earlier, the best dual quarterback performances I can remember seeing in a playoff game in a long time. So I'll go with no, though.
So 68% agree with you both. They say no, and then 32% say yes. But still looking at the weekend, Aaron Rodgers lost to the 49ers. Tom Brady lost to the Rams. What do you think the future is of both of those quarterbacks?
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Honestly, I would even be willing to throw in, I know he's not to the tier, but Jimmy G. What's Jimmy G's future as a San Francisco quarterback?
Because there
was a lot of talk about potentially the 49ers moving Jimmy G, and he keeps on winning.
I have a hard time believing that Tom Brady is going to walk away from the game when he's still playing it at such an incredibly high level. I have a hard time thinking he's going to walk away from that. I know the rumors are out there, but I'll believe that when I see it. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's played his last game for the Green Bay Packers.
But he'll continue to call it a beautiful mystery.
Yes, he will. No doubt about it.
All the way until he signs
Jimmy
to Denver.
G, fascinating. Well, yet he's done.
Those three, if you had to rank them in order from most to least likely to be on their current teams next year, I mean, Jimmy G, I think, would be the least likely. He's the one that might be going to the Super Bowl in a week. I agree with you, Brady. I think Brady comes back for one more year. I don't think he wants to go out like that. Not that that was embarrassing, but I don't think he ever wants to leave. Rodgers is the one, because it's like it sounded like things were getting better in Green Bay, but I kind of feel like he's on his way out,
this
too.
This was a bitter pill, a bitter loss. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that that's going to improve his personality.
All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you, as always, Aaron. Coming up, did we just witness the greatest weekend of NFL football ever? It's the Wolf and Luke Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, welcome back to the show, live from the Auction Community Studios. Wolf, you don't seem to have the same reaction to My Chemical Romance that you do when we play Rage or Tool.
No, I know.
You're getting
there. I'm sorry right there. Okay. I don't know, just not into it, I guess, right now.
Maybe you need
It's not Tunnel Time music, after all. It's not. It just seems so happy.
I don't know if I'd classify them as happy, but I'll give you the song sounds happy.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
Happy.
Not the happiest CD I've ever heard.
Yeah. I'm talking about the music, of course.
The games this weekend, I know that it's easy to fall into the trap of, hey, what I just saw is the best thing or the worst thing ever. I get that. And I'm sure if somebody's out there, they can think of a better weekend of football, like collectively, like every game. Go ahead and tweet into the show and let me know what it was, but we had four games this weekend deciding the final four teams in the NFL, Wolf. Every single game ended on the last play of the game. On a score on the last play of the game. Let's say that.
Yes.
Yeah, everything was a walk-off. I guess every game ends when it ends. But every game ended with a score. So the first three games were all field goals. Maybe not as exciting as a touchdown, but they were also all upsets. The road team won the first three games with walk-off field goals. And then you have that just epic last night. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a better weekend of football that isn't just like, hey, that was a great Super Bowl game. Like, you had four games, and they were all pretty thrilling.
You could take a look at every one of those games. You could say every one of those games, I could give you a stat from every one of those games, and you would be shocked to hear that the team won. By way of example, right now, Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times. For the Cincinnati Bengals.
9 times.
9 times. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not getting sacked 5. That's not getting sacked 6, which is a lot. 9 times Joe Burrow was sacked, and they won the game. The Cincinnati Bengals won the game.
That's normal.
What are the odds of that right there? How about this? The winning quarterback for the 49ers was 11 of 19. For 131 yards. 11 of 19 for 131 yards. Had a quarterback rating under 60. I'm not talking about QBR. I'm talking about a passer rating under 60. Because he threw a pick, and it was a horrific pick. Jimmy G won that game 13-10 in Lambeau Field. How about the fact that the Rams were up on the Buccaneers, man? Did you think this game was over? It was 27-13. Brady fumbled at his own 25-yard line. That looked like that was going to be the death knell. And on the next play, the Rams center snaps the ball past Matthew Stafford all the way out to midfield. The unbelievable comeback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, only to see them lose that game, was stunning as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Rams win the game, and keeping with your theme, they fumbled 4 times and they still won the game.
Yes. How about that for a stat right there? Yeah. How about that for a stat? 4 fumbles. Lost 4 fumbles and actually won the game?
I can't remember being so conflicted watching a football game before.
Cam Akers, man. Honestly, right now, Cam Akers, are you going forward? Are you going to go forward, Sean McVay, next year, end of the season, with Cam Akers? Forget about next year. How about next week?
I was
Sony Michel.
I was
rising
that.
Out of the ashes to get more than one touch.
I'm not saying Cam Akers is a bad guy, as you always say, Wolf. I don't know Cam Akers, but
yes.
I was listening to Bickley and Murata on the way in, and I think it was Vince that said it pretty well. When Cam Akers was fumbling and the Buccaneers were coming back, it felt like karma for last week. him specifically against the Cardinals. I don't hate Tom Brady the way some people do. I'm just sick of him winning. And I can't remember ever actually rooting for him to win, and I was all in on the Buccaneers yesterday.
And I was sitting there watching Jalen Ramsey in one-on-one coverage with Mike Evans, and I was like, what are you doing?
That's what that was?
What are you? It was like he just assumed there's no way Brady's going to throw the ball to Mike Evans because I'm covering him. There's no way he's going to. Mike Evans ran right by Jalen Ramsey, right by him. What a great read and a great throw that was by Tom Brady. But, man, that was stunning. There were so many things, so many plays. You were just shocked watching it.
There were just some epic comebacks specifically yesterday. Like, just, I mean, you shouldn't be able to come back down as much as the Buccaneers were. You shouldn't be able to come back over and over and over again the way the Bills and Chiefs did against each other.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking to myself, it was a bit of a head-scratcher when I was looking at Todd Bowles and the fact that he was rolling the dice and he was going cover zero. Not really a surprise. This is who Todd Bowles is.
Yeah.
At that point in time, that point of the game, yeah, you know what? The fact they went with zero coverage going after Matthew Stafford, especially with Matthew Stafford and his reputation. But then to see Lavonte David and Antoine Winfield busting that coverage, not being on the same page, man, that was shocking to me to see that. Not the fact that he called it, because that's Todd Bowles. It always has been Todd Bowles. The end game scenario. We saw it when he was here as the defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. End game scenario. Here we go. We're going to come after you. But, man, to see it messed up by those two guys in particular, that was surprising.
I'll give you a crazy stat, too, from that Chiefs game. How often do you go into the final 2 minutes of a game up by five, give up two touchdowns in those final 2 minutes, and win? that just never happens.
Just never happens. How many points were scored in the last 2 minutes of that game?
Well, in the last 2 minutes, 25. But if you throw in overtime, too, from a minute 54 on in regulation, there were 31 points.
That. You can't do that.
Oh, but no. I did. I've been sneaking it in there all show, too.
I know that. I heard you say that earlier, and I was like, I wanted to say something, but I couldn't because we were up against it.
It's too bad you don't have a microphone.
Right now, can I tell you right now, 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes, 25 points were scored. As a matter of fact, Patrick Mahomes threw for 177 yards in the last 2 minutes. Now, think about that. What?
I didn't realize
guys,
that.
Guys, when you're talking about this base and owning as being one of the greatest playoff weekends and playoff games ever, it's stuff like that that we saw with our own. Tony Romo.
Finish a sentence in the last 2 minutes. He kept starting a sentence. And he'd be like, well, Jim, can you believe? Well, you know, I think they're actually going to. Yes. They might go for two. He just could not finish it. And I get it. We were all there with him. I mean, Romo was probably the perfect guy to have calling that game. He was. I mean, there was one point where he was like, I think they're going to go for it, Jim. I don't even think I heard Jim Nance in the final 2 minutes of that game. You said 177 yards for Patrick Mahomes.
177 passing yards in the last 2 minutes for Pat Mahomes.
Garoppolo won't have that next week against the Rams, and they'll somehow win.
And then you look at Josh Allen. I thought Josh Allen played the finest game I had ever seen a quarterback play. I know that, listen, a wedge buster, ladies and gentlemen, my memory may have faded a little bit. Might have faded. I'm just saying, I am thinking of how many games I've watched, how many incredible games I've seen a quarterback play, and yet Josh Allen for my Buffalo Bills, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Allen was phenomenal. He didn't seem to make a mistake in that game. He was absolutely phenomenal. Protected the ball. The way he ran the ball. Ran the ball like he was Jim Brown. You know,
yeah.
Extending plays, using his legs.
In those last couple minutes, how many fourth downs?
There was the fourth and four, ladies and gentlemen, fourth and four, where he almost got sacked twice and got out of
it. By good players,
somehow, some way, got that, converted with his legs, that 4th and 4, and then the 4th and 13, that touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis on the post. Oh, oh my goodness, you are a bad, bad man.
See, and this is how you can tell if you felt the same way I did, that you're not over the Cardinals loss yet. And I'm not trying to pile on. But when Josh Allen made that play for those four, where he got 6 yards, I guess, and they needed 4 on 4th down, all I could think was, that's what Kyler Murray is capable of doing. Now, he's not a linebacker like Josh Allen is. I mean, Josh Allen, like, that guy's tough to tackle. I get that.
Different kind of tackle.
But that ability of, like, okay, it's 4th and 4. Here we go. Nobody's open. I need the 4 yards. I'm just going to get the 4 yards. Our season's on the line. It's okay, can everybody do what Josh Allen did? No. But Kyler Murray can. And so that's why it was – there were moments of watching the games yesterday, and there were bits and pieces of almost all 4 games where it was, like, frustrating because you're like, this should be something the Cardinals can do. This should, too. And they could do it. We've seen them do it at different times. But the next step is very clearly bring it all together, because some of these teams, like the Bills and the Chiefs and the Rams, unfortunately, these teams aren't going away for a while. You know what I mean?
No.
So you're going to have to up your game if you want to be – contending for a Super Bowl with some of these teams.
I honestly, just watching that game, I was thinking to myself, these two teams are, this is a new rivalry that we are witnessing right now. Maybe on the same level as Manning Brady, Colts Patriots in the AFC once again. Yes, different divisions, but Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes.
I'm going to go ahead and just say it. I think Cleveland and the Jets missed when they took Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold over Josh Allen. I'll just put that out there, Wolf. I'm not even afraid to say it.
There's a lot of teams who missed.
No, yeah. There's a lot of good players taken at the top of that draft. But the as far as the quarterbacks, yeah. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll continue to react to the NFL playoffs with two-time Super Bowl champion Max Starks. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is the Wolf and Luke Show here on this Monday now afternoon, and joining us is Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl champion. I always have to put that in Max's title, especially this time of year. Max, how's it going?
I'm doing well, fellas. I'm just coming down off of what I witnessed this weekend of absolute surprise, shock, and just absolute gold standard play. It was every emotion you can think of, and I'm excited for this weekend's games coming up.
Max, honestly, and not that it matters, but just out of curiosity, the best weekend of football you've ever seen?
You know what? It's hard to find another weekend like as a fan of just the sport itself with no team allegiance, this was by far one of the most entertaining I've ever seen. I mean, you're looking at 15 total points separating 4 games on the weekend, guys. that's just unheard of when you think of that. So it was by far the most spectacular weekend as a fan.
Well, I guess we need to start with Bills Chiefs, and not even the part where we haven't even mentioned the fan that ran on the field. Did you see Stephon Diggs just lay that dude out? And then Deion Dawkins take his shoe and throw it into orbit?
Just awesome.
Yeah. It's like that's the way fans should be treated that run on field. Listen. I don't come to your job. I don't jump over the counter and start messing with the fries. Don't jump on the field, okay?
I love the move, taking the shoe and just chucking it into like the 50th row.
It's like the final disrespect. It's like here. How about this? You want to be seen? Now I want your shoe to be seen. So let's go find that. Where's Waldo? That bud.
Would you ever believe that a quarterback that was sacked 9 times would end up winning that game?
Absolutely not. If you just told me the stat line, hey, guess what, guys? Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times. I'm like, man, Tennessee is going to be hell in the AFC Championship game.
That's
what I would have told you if I didn't watch it myself. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was, and one of the biggest things is just, doesn't it just go to show the resiliency and kind of heart of a young quarterback like Joe Burrow to be able to just stand and deliver, knowing that, I've gotten hit 9 times. I've been backwaxed 9 times by these guys on the other side of the ball. And guess what? y'all are going to have to knock me down 9 more times if you plan on winning this game, and they couldn't do it.
Max, you look at that game, and you look at the Chiefs game on Sunday night, now you have this matchup of Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, and I think we're all excited because this is, in a lot of ways, the future at that position, or at least two of the main guys, the main players in that spot. From what you have seen from Cincinnati this year, because I know you've seen them a couple times up close, I don't want to discount their chances with Joe Burrow, but how good of a shot do you give them against the Chiefs the way the Chiefs are playing right now?
Well, I look at it this way. They just did it 3 weeks ago.
It's true. You know? That's a good answer.
I mean, and Joe Burrow put up 470 yards on the same Chiefs defense. So you look at it, and then, of course, Buffalo coming in and having a day and scoring 36 on them. I think absolutely they have a shot in this game because there's a recency bias, plus you know, Joe Burrow has shown that he can go toe-to-toe, and I don't think the defensive line for the Chiefs is that nearly as aggressive as the one they faced in Tennessee. So, I mean, it's going to come down to which defense is going to stop the opposing quarterback the most, and I think we're going to get another, you know, higher-scoring affair in back-to-back weeks in Arrowhead Stadium.
You think Tom Brady is done, if you're going to guess? Do you think he's done, or do you think he comes back?
Absolutely not.
I'm with you on that, Max.
He looked pissed off, and that's one thing I've learned. You never piss off Tom Brady because then you get greatness. So I expect him to come back. And those reporters that kept goading him on, it was just like, come on, guys. I mean, listen, at this point, you've been asking this question for 7 years straight, and he has continually disappointed you. This isn't Ben Roethlisberger. This isn't Peyton Manning. This isn't Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying? There's no swan song final tour. Like, this dude's going to go until you kick him out of the NFL.
They did. They made Tom Brady actually bled. Did you see that? He was looking at the camera like, they made me bleed my own blood. He's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was straight Globo Jim in that moment. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I knew you'd get my movie reference.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, listen, if you haven't watched Dodgeball, I mean, you know, that would have been a whole new low that I would have came and put a brown paper bag on your head in the studio.
You don't have to worry.
Okay.
I've seen Dodgeball plenty of times.
So how about Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Has he played his last game for the Green Bay Packers, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's played his last game with them. I think he's so dejected by their performance outside of his own that he's going to have to go somewhere else. I don't think you can put up with the shenanigans that he did a year ago and expect him to just be content with that. Even as great as they were, you know, it just came to show you that there's still a ways to go for them as a team. And, you know, I expect him to be somewhere else come signing day and moving forward, because I think that he's going to be looking for somebody that's going to give him a sure, better fire chance, you know, next year than Green Bay.
Max, I'm going to try and ask this in a nice way. With all the quarterback play that we've seen in these playoffs, and then you look at San Francisco, what does Jimmy G do well?
He you know what he does well? He gets the heartbeat up, and he does just enough not to blow it.
Okay.
Because when you have a great defense and you have offensive line with that running game, all you have to do is not screw it up. And that's what he's really good at. He's great at managing the game and having a moment or two where he can be special, but he does a great job of managing. And that's what I think, you know, the one thing I was telling Sports Radio, you know, last week was, hey, listen, this is what you have to understand about Jimmy G. If he has a great defense, which he has, and a great running game, he'll always be viable. But if you have any deficiency in any of those one areas, that's when they suffer. And so he's done a great job with that, and that's why I give them a very good chance to go into SoFi and win that game.
How about your Super Bowl matchup here? Who do you think it's going to be?
I'm going back to 1982. I'm trying to channel my father. We celebrated his services this weekend. And it was the Super Bowl of 1982, Super Bowl 16, San Francisco, Cincinnati. That's what I'm predicting. 40th anniversary of that first Super Bowl appearance. So I'm going to channel my dad in this moment, that's going to be my pick. That's going to be my pick.
Wow, yeah, great stuff there, Max. Max, we always appreciate it, man. You have a good day. All right.
All right, definitely. You guys take care as well.
Okay, brother. Talk to you, man.
Thanks a lot. That's Max Starks joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Niners,
San Francisco
Bengals.
At Cincinnati.
I like the way he's thinking right there.
I love that right there. That is really, really cool. I don't think that's going to happen. That's just my guess. But
I don't know what to believe anymore in these playoffs. So if Max gave me a good reason for that, I'm not gonna dismiss that. Sammy Hagar, George Thorogood are heading to Ak-Chin Pavilion for their Crazy Times Tour. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. Coming up, after they both lost over the weekend, what's the future for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, we should throw this out there. It doesn't have anything to do with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, Wolf, but ASU just announced the addition of Super Bowl-winning head coach Brian Billick as a new offensive analyst and advisor to the head coach.
Whoa.
That's a long title, first of all.
Brian Billick. Oh, my goodness. That is very, very interesting. What do you read into that?
First of all, I got to sift through that title, offensive analyst and advisor to the head coach. The advisor to the head coach part at the end?
Yes.
I mean, are they looking at something bigger with him in the future?
So wait a minute, though. Honestly, right now, is Brian Billick part of the coaching staff? Is he actually going to show up at practices? Is he actually going to be part of the staff, or is this just an advisor to Herm going forward? That would be question number one that I'd like answered. Number two, I would say, is, boy, this is really interesting because you already know they've got the new era offense.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Billick represents the old. Not the new, the old. And maybe they need to blend it a little bit more going forward.
Wasn't he was the coach of that Ravens team we were talking about earlier, too, wasn't he, when they won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
He was Trent Dilfer's coach.
Yes.
So, anyway, something to keep an eye on. He is Brian Billick is the new offensive analyst and advisor to the head coach at ASU. And we'll see. Who knows what that means down the line. ASU's titles, their job titles right now in the football program are so just different that it's hard to tell, like, oh, okay, you're the next guy in line. No. It's just you're an offensive analyst. The two games yesterday, the two big names that were eliminated, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And Brady, would you say he led that comeback? I would just say the Rams opened the door, probably because they saw number 12 on the other side of the field. But that was not like Tom Brady's great comeback. He's got a million great comebacks. He was just kind of a part of it, I would say, yesterday.
It was pretty incredible, though, when you think about it right now, that it was Tom Brady, that it was Brady. They were down 27-3 with 7:07 to go in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
27-3, halfway through the third quarter. They were dead in the water. Then they got it to 27-13, and Tom Brady fumbled at his own 25-yard line. That looked like the death knell, but it wasn't. The next play, the Rams center snapped the ball past Matthew Stafford, and the ball was recovered at midfield. And then the Bucs gave it right back on downs. Think about that. There were like three times in this game you said to yourself, oh my goodness, the Bucs are dead. It's over. It's over. You said that like three times from the 7:07 mark in the third quarter on. It was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
They're done.
Even going for it. What was the fourth down where Mike Evans got hit late by Eric Weddle?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and because it was technically after the play, it didn't give them a first down. It gave the Rams the ball just minus 15 yards or whatever. They were. Even with Brady, you were like, I don't think they're coming back in this game. And then they did. And the Rams certainly played a role in that comeback. Now, Tom Brady, after the game, as you heard Max Starks alluding to last segment, not really giving up a whole lot about his future just yet.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it. So, you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
I assume we have to watch the next episode of Man in the Arena to figure out where Tom Brady's going with the rest of his career. You and I are on the same page here, Wolf. I can't ever imagine him retiring, let alone like in a month.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was really cool, too, because Max characterized it. He actually framed it up nicely when he said he was too upset.
Mm-hmm.
He was too mad. He was too angry at the end of this to walk away. That's really a salient observation by Max right there. I didn't think there's any way in the world he was going to walk away, only from the standpoint he played so well.
Yeah, MVP candidate all season.
It is so difficult for an athlete not to see his own athletic mortality, Basinonians. It's so difficult not to see your own mortality athletically and walk away from that. Tom Brady had as good a year as Tom Brady has ever had. He was fantastic at the age of 44. Lit it up. So to me right now, for him to walk away, boy, that's a hard, hard thing to do when you've got the kind of competitive fire that Tom Brady has. Now, I don't know what's going on in his personal life. That, you know, that always is the wild card. That could change everything. But I don't see him walking away. And I thought Max saying he was too angry to walk away, I thought that was a salient point.
Yeah, that was the best way to put it because, you know, and maybe Brady can, but you don't just get to say, I'll walk out after a Super Bowl. I'll just keep playing until I win another Super Bowl. I mean, he's won a ton, and for a while there it was, he just wins every other year. So maybe he is due to win next year. But that felt like more than just a loss. Like, that just didn't feel like the right way for Tom Brady to go out. Maybe it is. I mean, they did have a comeback. But I also, and this might just be a dumb reason, but he's this close to playing when he's 45. Like you said, he's like 45 is a more like memorable, like harder number. And he was one of the best in the NFL this year.
What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers, do you want a specific team? I just don't think he's going to be in Green Bay.
No, I don't need a specific team.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, not Green Bay. How's that? What do you think on that?
You know, for me, I think he's done in Green Bay. It was so acrimonious. The relationship, there was so much animus between he and the organization that I just don't see this improving that situation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Going out
home in the first game
and losing to Jimmy G and the 49ers the way that they did, 13-10. I don't think that's going to improve his attitude going forward. And because of that, yeah, I could see Aaron Rodgers playing for somebody else. And I would pick, if I had to pick one, the Denver Broncos.
That's the first name that comes to mind. Although you never know with him, because couldn't you just see him going somewhere where he would be like the most vengeful to his former team? I don't know who that would be. He's not going to Minnesota.
What do you mean? Pull a Brett Favre? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, just try. It is
going
funny.
Going to Minnesota he did.
He's like following that path of Brett Favre. He's probably going to win. This is his fourth MVP if he wins. He's going to be your back-to-back MVP winner this year and last year if he wins. Is there any, I don't want to say hesitation if you're a prospective team, but do you before you sign Aaron Rodgers, do you have to kind of get together at that big rectangle like you always talk about and say, okay, how is he going to impact our room? Because he has gotten kind of strange. He might be the best quarterback in the NFL. I would take Mahomes over him at this point, but he's right there. I mean, he's going to be probably a two-time MVP the last 2 years and four-time overall.
Yeah, you would take Patrick Mahomes. You would take a lot younger quarterback any day of the week if you were trying to build a team right now. But if you're sitting here saying, who's the best quarterback in the National Football League, Aaron Rodgers certainly is in that conversation right now.
So is there any hesitation? Like, you have to sit down and say, okay, let's have a plan for how he could be a distraction, even though he's going to win us 14 games.
Yeah. What I think you probably are, but I would say that the Denver Broncos are unique because of Elway.
Yeah.
I think he would be able to speak to Aaron Rodgers.
And isn't Peyton Manning just kind of there? He's like got one of those ASU job titles. Like,
exactly.
He's just around Denver.
So honestly, I think it wouldn't be bad right there. Maybe they could sit around and talk about the quarterback club and how to develop the quarterback club and where it's got holes in its deficiencies and where they need to get better. You could have a big powwow on that.
This is Aaron Rodgers after the game yesterday, or on Saturday rather.
I mean, I did not think we'd be talking about this after this game, but
right.
I'm going to take some time and and have conversations with the folks around here, and then take some time away and make a decision. Obviously before free agency or anything kind of gets going on that front, but you know, it's fresh right now. It's, you know, a little shocking for sure. Definitely haven't, you know, was hoping to have, you know, nice week after the NFC Championship to enjoy the lead up and then start contemplating some things. So I haven't even let the moment really sink in yet.
Wow, I can't even believe he just said that. I can't even believe he just referenced the fact that he was thinking about the NFC Championship game and having the week after that.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers just broke Wolf.
Are you serious? Listen, he may have thought that, and I'm not saying he's alone on that. I'm sure there were other guys out there that were considering, man, what are we going to do in that off week after the NFC Championship game? What are we going to do?
That's looking pretty far ahead.
I just got to tell you that that's a little shocking, Aaron.
Yeah, it is. I feel like his relationship with the Packers is mended to a certain extent, but not enough where he's going to stay. Like, I think he's going to leave. He just kind of said it right there. He sort of implied, like, I'll make the decision before free agency and all that stuff. I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal. I think he'll break it. Pat McAfee or Joe Rogan will break the news, and it won't be, like, a big deal in the sense of, like, oh, Aaron Rodgers hates the Packers. He's just going to be going a different direction.
Maloney, can we go ahead and actually cut that up and take the last part of that, the second half of that cut, and just keep that around? Put it in the audio bank, if you will. That is really interesting.
You said audio bank like it's like a geographical location with an ocean.
Well, that's what we have.
Oh.
The audio bank.
We have our audio on some island somewhere out in the Pacific.
It's not just a file. It's the audio bank.
I understand. Okay. I'll never question your audio bank knowledge again. All right. So Brady's back. Rodgers is playing somewhere else. We agree on this.
Yep.
Okay. Coming up, what can the Phoenix Suns prove tonight against the Utah Jazz? We're going to ask Suns broadcaster for Bally Sports, Kevin Ray, next with Game Day with K-Ray.